on, I want us to focus. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's just 11 verses. We're going to focus on one verse tonight. I want to say before I begin reading, I understand that this chapter is for the nation of Israel. I understand the context. But I don't want us to miss the application tonight that we find in verse number 10 is primarily where we're going to look tonight. Verse number 1 and part of verse number 2, Jesus Christ Himself speaks in Luke chapter number 4. So even though this is a chapter to the nation of Israel, speaking of the remnant, the application is very clear for us tonight, so I don't want to miss it. Let's look at verse number 1, Isaiah chapter number 61 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Now Christ stops short. He doesn't speak all of verse number 2 in Luke chapter number 4. He stops short of the day of vengeance because that was yet to come. Verse number 3, he says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. They shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make them an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed." And I want you to notice verse number 10. He says, "I..." Now, there's some disagreement about who the "I" is in verse number 10. Some would say it's Isaiah. Some would say it's the entirety of Israel. But either way, whether it's the nation of Israel as a whole or whether it's Isaiah, he says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments." By the way, men in here tonight, how many of you wore a tux at your wedding? Is that it? Okay. I'm just a little confused by one. I thought I had seen a picture with a tux.
I wear a vest and a cravat.
Okay. Wasn't very perceptive on the picture there, was I? I was just confused why he wasn't raising his hand. "He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." And I want us to fix our attention on verse 10 tonight. Not that there's not a lot in the other verses, but I want to fix our attention on verse 10. And I just want to bring us a message tonight entitled, "Rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice. What does the word "rejoice" mean? Anybody know tonight?
To
Okay, to give praise. Anything else? To joy again. The word rejoice means to feel or show great joy or delight. Now, as we have begun to go through the book of Philippians, and hopefully we'll be back there this Sunday, but we have defined the word joy. The word joy means a state of peace, hope, strength, gladness, and contentment brought about by trust in God's promises, obedience to God's precepts, and delight in God's presence. And here in Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 10, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And so I just want to speak a little bit about that tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. Our rejoicing, and we've said it so many times over the past 16 years, and we've spoken about it so many times, our rejoicing should not just be on Sunday and Wednesday. Because the truth is, every single day of our lives as Christians ought to be a day of worship. It ought to be a day when we come before God in reverence and obedience. By the way, what is worship? Worship is something that we know, but I think sometimes it's hard to define. The Bible says in the New Testament that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I think worship, if we could bring it down, and you may not totally agree with this, and that's okay. But if we could bring it down into maybe a simple definition, if we want to use that term, worship is simply acknowledging someone. Because here's the truth. Lots of people worship lots of things. When we think of worship, we think about Jesus Christ, don't we? At least we should. But lots of people worship lots of other things or lots of other people. Worship is an acknowledgement of a person and then our response to that person or that thing. We acknowledge something or someone and then we have a response to that. And the Bible is very clear that our response as Christians is to be reverence or to be reverent and obedient. That's the idea when we think about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear is reverence and obedience. By the way, one of the greatest ways, and I would argue that the greatest way to show worship is obedience. Because when I'm obedient, I'm saying, I believe you, I acknowledge you, you are the one. And I'm going to obey what you have said. In Isaiah, in verse number 10, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Now let me ask you, should we rejoice in here on Sunday and on Wednesday? Absolutely. And I would submit to us tonight, that one of the reasons why we should rejoice or why we do rejoice on Sunday and Wednesday is because we have rejoiced all throughout the week. Because if we haven't rejoiced all throughout the week, we're not going to come in here on Sunday and be ready to provoke each other to love and to good works. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to do when we come here. We're to provoke each other to love and to good works. And if we haven't been rejoicing and worshiping and spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ all throughout the week, we're not going to do that on Sunday. And so tonight, I just want to give you a few things here out of Isaiah 61:10, and we'll look at a couple of other chapters here in Isaiah as well. But I just want us to think of this thought, rejoice in the Lord. I'll use this, and maybe this will get us going a little bit. When I was a college student, there were many, 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 many times in the Del Horton Auditorium that God worked powerfully in my life. Hearing the preaching of God's Word, He worked powerfully in my heart. And I would write those times or those messages or what it was that God worked in my heart, I would write that in my Bible. But I'll tell you what, one of the sweetest and dearest times that God worked in my heart as a student was in a stairwell in a men's residence hall. When I was in the stairwell all by myself, late at night one night, it was during an interterm period, and all by myself there in that stairwell, and God's peace was so profound and so real. And it wasn't in a church building. Now, I don't say that to diminish what goes on here, because I'm thankful for what goes on here. This is important. The local New Testament church is important. I don't think we have to say that. But it can't just be what happens here. We know that tonight. But is that real to us? Is it what happens throughout the week? Is it what happens as we go through our daily walk? By the way, many times our worship will determine our walk. If we're not worshiping, we're not going to be walking right. If we're not worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to be obeying Him the way that we should. We're not going to be walking with Him the way that we should. So let's look here tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help. And then we'll look at this subject tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. Father, we love You tonight. I do pray that You'd help us to do just that. That we would rejoice in You. That we would show forth joy and delight in You. We get happy about a lot of things, Lord, but true joy, that honestly is relegated for You. It's something that ought to be held close just for You. And so, Lord, I just pray that You'll remind us of a few things tonight, and we'll surely thank You for it. Help our kids, help our teenagers tonight, help the many that are away from us tonight for whatever reason. Lord, I pray that You'd help them at this moment. And we'll thank You for what You'll do in our hearts. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, I want us to see the God in whom we rejoice. The God in whom we rejoice. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in who? My God. So number one tonight, the God in whom we rejoice. Why do we rejoice in Him? Let me give us a couple of words, a couple of reasons, if I could. First of all, I believe that we rejoice in Him, or we should rejoice in Him, first of all, and maybe this is the most important, because of His character. Number one tonight, because of His character, because of who He is. Remember, we acknowledge someone and then we respond to them. For us, we acknowledge Jesus Christ and then we respond in kind. Okay, the God in whom we rejoice in Him because of His character. Take your Bibles and go back just a little bit here in the book of Isaiah, if you would. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. I want to read a couple of passages, if we could tonight. Isaiah chapter number 40. And we'll begin reading in verse number 17. The God in whom we rejoice because of His character, His goodness, His graciousness, His righteousness. By the way, we'll see much of that in just a moment. His righteousness, His justice and mercy and love. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. Okay, these individuals, they make a graven image out of silver and gold, but the poor person, the person doesn't have a whole lot, well, what's he going to do? He's going to go find a tree that's not going to rot, and he's going to make him an idol out of that, an image. He that is so impoverished, verse 20, that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hey, Jacob, hey, Israel, why do you say that God doesn't see? Why do you say that your judgment has been passed over? Hast thou not known, verse 28, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The God in whom we rejoice because of His character, because there's nobody like Him. He said, who are you going to compare me to? What are you going to liken me to? Are you going to make a gold image, a graven image, a silver image? Are you going to go get a stock of wood and make an image out of that? Who are you going to liken me to? Who am I equal to? Go a little bit further. Look at Isaiah 46, if you would. The God in whom we rejoice because of His character, because of who He is. Yes, we rejoice because of what He does, but most importantly, we rejoice because of who He is, because He does what He does because of who He is. We receive blessings because He's a good God. We receive blessings because He's gracious and because He's merciful, because He loves us. Isaiah 46, Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. You know, he starts out, and he says, look, nobody has to carry me. He says, Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beast. A beast had to carry their idols. Nobody had to carry me. I'm the one that carries you. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? We don't have to carry Him around. He carries us. Even He says in verse number 4, and even to your old age I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. Verse 5, here we go again. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember this, he says. Show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. He said, look, my word, my counsel is going to always stand. By the way, that's why we should have such confidence in His word. Hey, by the way, let me say this. I don't understand Christians who have a problem with another Christian being so confident in God's word. I don't understand that. Now, I don't fathom that. Another Christian who gets upset because another Christian has such confidence in God's Word. It almost, in our day and time, I'll use a relevant term, it almost triggers them. That's a shame. Because as a Christian, what else do we have to be confident in other than this? We don't. Christ and His Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1 said. Christ in, excuse me, and His Word. That's what we have confidence in. Verse 13, He says, I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. The God in whom we rejoice because of His character. But look back at Isaiah 61. Let me give you a second reason. We rejoice because of His character, but secondly, we rejoice because of His covering. Because of His covering. We rejoice because of His salvation. Look at verse number 1 again. He says, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And then drop down to verse number 10 again. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath, what's the word there? Clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath what? What's the word there? Covered me with the robe of righteousness. So number one, the God in whom we rejoice, but then covering, that leads us into number two. Number one, the God in whom we rejoice, but secondly, the garments for which we rejoice. We read it in verse number 10. He said, hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels, we rejoice in the garments that He has covered us with. The God in whom we rejoice, but secondly, the garments for which we rejoice. Take your Bible, hold your place here. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation with me, if you would, Revelation 19. And that garment specifically is His robe of righteousness. Revelation chapter number 19. And I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what kind of day we're having. If I think of the robe of righteousness that I have been covered with, that ought to make me rejoice, amen? Because that ought to bring me back to reality. Hey, things could be much, much worse because I could still be living in my filthy rags. But no, I'm clothed with the robe of His righteousness. Revelation chapter number 19, look at verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the what? Righteousness of saints. By the way, not our righteousness, but the righteousness that has been imputed to our account, that Romans 4 speaks about. That, by the way, Isaiah 61 speaks about. That robe of righteousness that we have been clothed with. And so secondly, the garments for which we rejoice. It is His robe of righteousness. It is His righteousness that gives us our standing before God the Father. Two things here quickly. We're not rejoicing in the righteousness which is filthy. We're rejoicing in the righteousness which is by faith. We're not rejoicing in the righteousness which is filthy. And by the way, what is that? That's our righteousness. Isaiah 64:6. If you're taking notes, write that down. Isaiah 64:6. We know the verse. It says that all of our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. Okay, so it's not the righteousness. I'm not rejoicing in the righteousness which is filthy. I'm not rejoicing in my... By the way, you don't have to turn there, but let me read you... Let me read us a passage, if I could, real quickly. Familiar, you'll probably know it. Romans chapter number 10, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's," anybody know the next word? "Righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So we don't rejoice in the righteousness which is filthy, the garments that are filthy. We rejoice in the garment, in the righteousness which we acquire, we obtain by faith. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let me read just quickly in Romans chapter number 3. Actually, if you're taking notes, write down Romans 3, 22 through 28. But let me read in Titus. Titus chapter number 3, verses 3 through 7. The Bible says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's what we used to be. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The garments for which we rejoice, it is the garment of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has taken my filthy rags and He has clothed me. He has clothed me with a pure, Revelation 19 says, white, fine linen robes of righteousness. And He compares it in Isaiah 61. He compares it to a bridegroom who's getting ready for his wedding, for his bride. And what's he going to do? He's going to put his best on, isn't he? Yeah. Hey, when I got married, the day that my wife and I got married, she would have walked out the back door of the auditorium if I had walked in there with my barn clothes on. Because she had smelled the barn before. Because she had visited once before we got married. She had gone down to the milk barn. And she said, these cows are big. I don't think she had ever seen dairy cows up close, Holstein cows up close. And she went to, but one thing you cannot miss, by the way, one thing you cannot miss when you drive on the property is the smell. Now, our house was a little bit up from the barn. The barn was kind of down in a little valley, and it was a little ways away from the house, but it didn't matter. And then when you walked in the back door was a kind of like a coat room, and it had all of our dirty boots. By the way, they weren't dirty. We'd wash them off before we came home, but it had all of our boots. It had coveralls. Stink. Now, let me ask you, if those back doors had opened and she's looking down the aisle, because we were already standing up there just like most times, and she looks down the aisle, rubber boots, coveralls? Nah. By the way, her daddy wouldn't have let her come down the aisle. Her daddy there standing beside her holding her arm, he's going to look at... I mean, he cried the whole way down to begin with because he had to give her to me. But the whole way down, he's going to be looking at her like, "Are you sure? Are you sure? No. Man, it's the best. We're going to put tuxedos on." Now, I know everybody today, they don't necessarily wear tuxedos. Sometimes they wear suits. But we're going to wear better than what we normally wear. Right? Because we're getting ready to get married. And the Bible says there in verse number 10, a billion trillion times better. And we can't, by the way, we can't even compare it. Is the robe of righteousness that God has clothed us with. Now, as human beings, we have a hard time understanding that sometimes, but we shouldn't have a hard time believing it because God's Word says it. I mean, sometimes you think, how would God, why would God even want to do that? Why would God want to give me a robe of righteousness? I don't deserve it. But He does because He loves us. He does because of His grace. And so, number one, the God in whom we rejoice because of His character. We rejoice because of His covering. But secondly, the garments for which we rejoice. It is not the righteousness which is filthy. It is the righteousness which is by faith. And He has taken my filthy rags. And now when I stand before God, God doesn't see my righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the robes of Christ. He sees the robes of righteousness. And then let me give you the third one here in verse number 10. The greatness with which we rejoice. It's right there. It's right there in the verse. He says, I will what? Greatly. I will greatly rejoice. I will greatly rejoice. Can you quantify the word greatly? I think we can define it. But can we quantify it when it comes to the rejoicing that we ought to have for the one who did everything for us, for the one who's clothed us in righteousness? He said, no, I will greatly rejoice, the greatness with which we rejoice. Look, it doesn't have to be boisterous, but it should be great. It can be while we're driving to work in the morning, and boy, we're just thinking about the goodness of God, and we're thinking about the salvation that God has provided. And boy, it just brings an overwhelming peace and gratefulness to our hearts. And there in our vehicles, we're praising the Lord. We're thanking Him. He says, I will greatly rejoice. We have a God who has given us garments that deserve great rejoicing. And it doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter what we're going through. The truth is, He has made it possible. He's made it possible for us to miss hell. He's made it possible for us to go to heaven. But even more than that, that's wonderful. But sometimes we miss that, hey, He's made it possible to live a wonderful life now. He's made it possible to live an abundant Christian life right now. Whatever time He gives us upon this earth, and none of us know. None of us know how long that is. But the time that He gives us, we don't have to wait to heaven for it to be great. We have the opportunity right now to live the abundant Christian life. And by the way, that's why we don't have to be down in the dumps all the time. That's why we don't have to be woe is me all the time. That's why we don't have to live in the drama all the time. By the way, a Christian shouldn't. Should he? Should she? No. A Christian shouldn't live in the drama. A Christian shouldn't live in the doldrums. Do we have bad days? Sure. But we shouldn't stay there. We shouldn't live there. We shouldn't live in the drama. Why? Because the Bible says that because of what He's done for us, what He's done for me, what He's done for you, Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice. You're not going to be able to hold me back. I will greatly rejoice. Two things, the greatness with which we rejoice. I'm kind of repeating myself here. The greatness with which we rejoice. Number one, because of the rags that are gone. Because of the rags that are gone. And secondly, because of the riches, the robe, the righteousness, and the relationship that we have gained. The greatness with which we should rejoice because of the rags that are gone. And secondly, because of the riches. Remember we read recently that He became poor. He who was rich became poor so that we who are poor could do what? Become rich. Because of the riches, the robe, the righteousness, and the relationship that we have gained. The rags are gone, but we've gained so much more. See, here's the truth. You hear people sometimes, they'll say, well, I gave up so much for God. We didn't give up anything for God. No, God gave us everything. God came down and became poor so that we could become rich. We didn't have to give up anything. Oh, I gave up all this to serve Christ. Really? No, you didn't. He already gave you everything. Rejoice in the Lord, the God in whom we rejoice because of His character, because of His covering, the garments for which we rejoice, not in the righteousness which is filthy, but the righteousness which is by faith. Read Romans 3. Would you do that? Read Romans 3, 22 through 28 tonight. And the greatness with which we rejoice because of the rags that are gone, the old life. By the way, real quickly, turn to Ephesians 4. We'll read this and we'll be done. By the way, there's a great truth right here. Because those rags are gone, I shouldn't want to go pick them up and put them back on. I'm not talking about losing my salvation. I'm just talking about sometimes as Christians, boy, he's clothed us in His righteousness. The filthy rags are gone, the rags of my righteousness. And a couple things there. First of all, sometimes we try to do everything in our own strength. That's our own righteousness. That doesn't count. There's no profit in that. But then also, sometimes we want to go back to those old rags that He already took away. Look what the Bible says in verse number 17. Ephesians 4, 17. By the way, right before that, we have the great passage on the ministry gifts and how it all work, the effectual working in verse number 16. But verse number 17, He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You see that? And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in, what is the new man created in? In righteousness and true holiness. He's clothed us. We ought not want those filthy rags anymore. He said, look, you haven't, this, that's not how you've been taught. He says that in verse number 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Rejoice in the Lord. I pray that we'll do that. I pray that we're doing that already. He's the God who deserves it. Amen? He gives us the garments that ought to motivate us to want to rejoice in Him. And Isaiah said, "I'm not going to rejoice just a little bit. I'm going to rejoice greatly. I'm not just going to think about Him at Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter. No, I'm going to greatly rejoice. I'm going to think about Him every day. I'm going to spend time with Him every day. I'm going to come before His presence with reverence on a daily basis. And I'm going to worship Him. I acknowledge who He is. And because of that, it's going to cause me to respond in a specific way because He's God." Father, thank You for the time You've given us tonight. Father, help us in these next few moments as we pray. Father, I pray that You'd incline Your ear toward us, and we'll surely thank You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.